You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Sorry about that massive breath. For some reason I thought I'd turn my mic off. Yes, it's that time of the week where we are taking a deep dive on an article which is up on audioculture.co.nz. This week we're looking at New Zealand funk, finding the real groove, which was put together by the one and only Alan Perrott. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm Fluffy Ducks. It's a lovely day, finally.
Now, give us some background on this particular article and
the one I'd completely forgotten I'd written.
Yeah. How did you come to write it?
I was part of the Heed the Call compilation, putting that together. And so I got to have the good fun job of talking to everybody and for the liner notes, which turned into a liner book, which is a bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And had an amazing time and sort of started thinking about whether there was actually a funk scene at the time that all these songs sort of grew out of. Mm-hmm. And basically came to the conclusion that no, there wasn't. It was sort of a jack-of-all-trades bands that would be travelling around the country doing the pub scene, because, you know, there was a million pubs around yes. the country, and they had the two circuits, the Lion and the DB, mm-hmm. and they'd trundle around in deadbeat vans from bar to bar, play their gig, but you'd play like a jukebox. You'd have to play the song for the oldies, mm-hmm. song for the ladies, song for the guys, mm-hmm. and some of the great hits. It was essentially a live version of those family entertainment shows of the time. And then people would have their dine and dance, get pissed, probably have a fight, and go home.
Well, they must have been scorching, like, amazing musicians.
Because
if they're, if they're playing a bit of everything, mm. and they're playing, I don't know, 5 nights a week or something like that, they must have been rippers.
Yeah, Tuesday to Saturday.
Yep.
Charging from venue to venue, practice in the morning, play in the evening. Mm-hmm. And then if they got the opportunity, because there were bugger all records being produced and even less probably being pressed. Mm. There was little sort of producers on the scene. I mean, we'd had the sort of the 60s groove where people were able to do their psych tracks and all the rest of it, but mm-hmm. they're essentially going in and playing their live performance in a studio in one big bang. You know, it's produced some of our greatest records, like Collision, probably the country's first proper funk band, and mm-hmm. I still think the best funk rhythm section we've ever produced.
Yes.
Went to Australia, got the opportunity to record an album, had become completely disillusioned with the scene, because, you know, you start from the bottom in New Zealand, you rise to sort of the top. Delvanius took them over. They just put it in a brothel, and they had mad times. you start from the bottom again over there, and mm-hmm. it travelling humongous distances to play to people who don't give a shit.
Yes.
Mm. And so they got to do the album. They got limited support from the album, well, the label, they felt. And so they just basically wanted to memorialise their live act. But they'd put their places in history playing with Delvanius on Voodoo Lady and those tracks, which is just astonishing stuff. But they were... One of my greatest moments was when meeting some of the guys from the band when they came up. We did a launch sort of thing at Golden Dawn a million years ago, mm-hmm. and invited some of these bands along just to hang out and to give them a copy of the record, because they'd never seen it. And there's tears in the eyes and all sorts of things. Then going, there was another band that we played with that we recorded, put on the compilation, the mm-hmm. Totals. And their kids had never heard their songs, never heard them play.
Wow.
And both the guys from the band that were there, they're just crying, and the kids are just jumping up and down, "Daddy, Daddy." It was just absolutely beautiful.
How did you track down all of this, what must be pretty obscure music?
It was a lot of difficulty. That was a lot of detective work. Mm-hmm. And all hands to the pump, just calling on every contact we could lay our hands on, really.
Yes.
Trying to track down people, because, you know, we were also trying to, Alison Durbin, we're going to use one of her tracks, but she was just out of prison, or she's just out of rehab, I don't know.
Mm.
She pulled out, but did a lot with Mark Williams over there. He's just the most brilliant man to talk to. But Carl Gordon as well, used to go to the same school as me, Otahu College, and tracking him down, I think he was in Perth, basically busking on the street, because he's got a crazy story where he... auditioned twice to play with Golden Harvest. Got in, well, obviously the second time. They were essentially a hard rock band with a 1,000-watt PA they used to drag around and just terrify crowds. They were the Gordons of the time. And then they recorded I Need Your Love, which is this total sort of Pacific disco track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you watch the video, Kevin Kalkow at the back hated the song, lead guitarist. He's just taking the piss on his guitar. You just watch it. In the end, he's playing it with his teeth.
Yeah.
He hated that direction. He wanted to be. And then he was in Mount Zion, the movie. You know, with the,
yeah.
That made me think, really? Now you like it. but then Carl was just sort of like, they supported the Wailers as per Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. And he was standing on the side of the stage. And he had this epiphany that, you know, they're doing what they love to do and they're doing it the way they want to do it. And he didn't feel he was doing the same thing. And he started to sort of fall apart. Then they were doing a gig out in the I think it was the Blackbridge Tavern out in Margaret Bridge, and they were just start sound checking on stage. He didn't say anything. He was just sitting in the pub, and then he just got up and walked out and left the band, went home, got his gear, moved, and just went bush.
Mm.
And then ended up in Australia, much like we've queued up Prince Tuiteka. This is a great story, because he ran away with a mate to go to Oz. His mate didn't get to the boat in time, but the first his parents basically knew that he had left was when he wrote them a letter from Australia. And he had literally joined the circus. He was looking after elephants.
All right, should we hit this?
Yeah, man.
Hopefully we're all good to go here. We'll just excuse me and we'll...
been for you right from the start.
Great track, firstly, but secondly, and this is so stereotypical of like the sound from back then, the bloody organ is there.
They gotta have a beautiful keyboard. Love a Hammond. that was a production by Alan Galbraith, who was probably the country's first kind of guy who tried to do actual production for soul funk tracks. He'd been working in England and had been getting into the Hot Chocolate sound. Came back here, set up a studio in Wellington, and then put together the band Rocking Horse as their studio band in the sort of the mode of the Funk Brothers and the Wrecking Crew. But that was the thing with a lot of those early funk tracks that we had in New Zealand. They were all jazzers, and so playing jazz rock and that sort of thing. And so unlike Collision, they didn't just come in on the one and just hit the groove hard. You know, they wanted to float around and make it more interesting for themselves. He did a bunch of covers, but that was also reflective as well of the touring circuit. You had to play the songs that made people happy, but so that was an original. But he'd also did some great covers like she was Sticking Together and all that sort of thing. But so that was just because, you know, he came from the Māori show band tradition. Played his trumpet and did great shows.
Are we sticking strictly to an era, 72 to 82?
That's my oeuvre. So, well, we could go afterwards, because I did bring in a because I wanted to pay a little tribute a bit to Ryan and Betty Bonga, Adija, because yeah, everyone knows, well, most people know the funk hits of the 80s kind of thing. But then they were a fundamental part of the rise of electronica in Auckland. People wanted a proper bass line, and he was the only cat, well, the best cat in town playing slap bass who could also program, and Betty could, you know, sing whatever. I remember someone tried to get her offshore, but to play for some big band, but I can't remember, she said no. But I was talking to them about all that, and they're saying all these guys, you know, they're all super keen and all the rest, but they get to the studio and they didn't have a bloody clue what they were doing. So they're basically, I mean, it might be IQ or whatever, but they did so much. They should really be writing credits. But I think I was also looking just the other track I've got queued up here, just an oddball from Herbs. The classic New Zealand reggae band, but they did a Christmas single, and which is really hard to find. And
a
the
Christmas
B-side
record?
Is, yeah, Christmas record.
$3.50.
Yeah. And this was on the B-side, and, you know, if I don't think anyone would have a bloody clue it was them.
Right, let's hear it.
Yeah, man. We'll be right back. go.
Holy smokes. We're in here with Alan Perrott, just sort of chatting loosely about his article for Audio Culture, New Zealand Funk, Finding the Real Groove, and he's selecting a few tracks on vinyl for us. What else? Any other like blockbuster stories came out of this discovery journey that you went upon?
Yeah, well, my favourite guy I spoke to is Mark Williams. I think I mentioned him because he's just the greatest background from Dargaville. Played original band Face with Willie Hona, who went to Herbs. Nice segue. And eventually went solo. But everyone remembers when he popped on the scene with his satin pants and his afro and his makeup and all the rest of it, thinking, you know, this is a disco thing. But he never considered himself a disco kid. Mm-hmm. Face were a glam band. This was what they used to play for their glam sets. He wanted to do soul and hard funk. So when his first single, was it Yesterday is the Beginning of My Life, came out, he hated it. And then they rejigged the arrangement, and then he loved it. Then he played it live, and the crowd hated it. But it eventually became this single. Because he had the hardest time, because he was touring around the country solo. He'd go from bar to bar like all those other bands, but he'd have to pick up a pickup band from the locals in that area. And try and get them to play all this music, and you know, just ridiculously fast. And because of the way he dressed, and that androgynous look that he had, he copped assholes from Cape Reinga to Invercargill, and you know, eventually just did his head in, and he bailed to Australia. But he did this, this amazing performance when his singles. I can't remember. He'd had a couple out by then, but it was a showcase at. At Western Springs, and he landed amongst this big crowd in a big hot air balloon.
Yes, what an entrance.
Yeah, in his sequins. Then fought his way to the stage. He didn't, his voice was gone, and then he went to sing the song, and a moth flew into his mouth, and he choked. And he sort of fought his way through this whole thing. Then he had to fight his way through the crowd. They were tearing at his clothes, pulling at his hair, scratching him to get to the balloon. They jump in the balloon, it goes up about 10 metres, doesn't go any further, they have to go back down again, and he has to get back out of the balloon and fight his way again through the crowd. Basically, I mean, he was almost naked from what he was doing. His clothes are torn to shreds. And that stuff just did his head in. He didn't, because you know, no one could hear him sing, and no one gave a shit anyway. And it just, so then eventually he buggered off to Australia. But like those other bands, you know, he was at the top here. He went to the bottom when he landed over there, because I think he landed in Melbourne in the middle of the post-punk scene there, and no one gave a shit about what he was playing. But then, you know, eventually he came through, and you know, he's now considered an Aussie classic. So, beautiful man. Great. He's got some great stories. That guy really needs to write a book.
Mm. Is there anything else on the way? Obviously, Heed the Call was... you know, pretty successful compilation. Have you guys?
Well, we did have plans for Heed 2. Yeah. We even got a track list, but COVID got in the way. Then life got in the way. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to think it might happen again. But to be honest, I mean, we weren't complete heads. We just loved what we were doing and trying to make an accessible compilation people could get into. Mm-hmm. But there are cats like Dujon down in Hamilton who owns every New Zealand funk soul and record in that's ever been created. And yeah, you know, he's probably something he should drive. Really, he's got much more knowledge base now than I ever have. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd love to, because I would really love to do the liner notes again. Yeah, so if he does, I'll do that. I did it for free the first time.
Now shall we go out on one last track?
Yeah, man. We just queued up Adija. We just did, as we were talking before, just the way they stepped out of. Because, you know, they could play everything, because they're playing at Cleopatra's, probably one of the few soul funk dedicated venues out in GI, and all their cozzies and all the rest of it. And they were able to put their hands to anything. And then he became much in demand because he was good at programming drums and all that sort of thing. And he came into demand through the growing sort of electronica scene. And you know, IQU took him into the studio and they basically built a song for them.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Hey, Alan, thank you very much for making the trek into BFM
this
afternoon.
My pleasure. It's been, I've thought about this stuff for a while, so it's having a blast.
Rad. For anyone listening out there, you can check out audioculture.co.nz. New Zealand funk, fun in the real groove.
Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fast.
destination.